put ChatGPT in the shoes of either the client to understand the needs, or in the shoes of the customer and the participants to try and predict the responses.
Welcome to AI for Pharma Growth, the podcast from pioneering pharma artificial intelligence entrepreneur, Dr. Andre Bates. This show aims to demystify AI for all those in biopharma, from startup biotech right through to big pharma. Each episode focuses on all things AI and future tech related to help pharma execs to navigate through the and benefit from the sometimes confusing but magical world of AI-powered tools to grow and get real-world results.
Today's episode is how to use artificial intelligence to analyze qualitative market research. Now, market research is vital for an understanding of the why behind the data. The challenge is that qual market research is very time-consuming and costly. My guest today is Siddhi Lamin from Jade Kite, which is a company that uses artificial intelligence to conduct qual market research and analyze it with AI. Welcome, Siddhi. Thank you so much for being on the show. Could you start by telling me a little bit about your background and what led you to found Jade Kite?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Andre. I'm very, very honored to be here in the company of so many luminaries of AI in the past. So I have always been very, very passionate about AI ever since, weirdly enough, since I was a young teenager. First from science fiction, and then from my first contact with the internet involved discovering that I could read PhD theses on AI. I was a very lonely child in Mauritania. And I really absorbed myself in the subject and had big dreams of making sentient computers and thinking machines. And I've always been curious about the human mind in general. Mm-hmm. And so I studied AI in Paris at university in the early 2000s, in 2001, and decided not to go into an academic career, which was more or less the main path at that point. Things were sadly not as exciting as they are today, and ended up in qualitative research as another way to really explore the human mind and to understand how thinking works in the real world. Mm-hmm. And that has been my life for the last 20 years, and I've been really passionate about everything that qualitative can do to build our understanding of each other, build better products, better brands, better services. But both of them converged about 5 years ago when I moved from London to the US, where I am now, and I started my own company. And I realized I have been badgering my agency leads and company leads for years and years, telling them to do things differently and to stop being such dinosaurs and to integrate AI. And now, well, I am the agency lead and I have to do it myself.
Yes.
I wasn't thankful to myself, but I had to do it. And so, so I looked around and reached out to my contacts in the industry to see what was really appropriate. And we started integrating AI from day one, particularly with a view of trying to make qualitative more robust and more actionable. Mm-hmm. Because there's a slight difference in cultures between where I was coming from in Europe, where qualitative can carry a lot of weight and a good story can really resonate with, a board of directors, versus the US, which is a lot more data-driven, a lot more quant, a lot more numbers-oriented. And so to try to bridge the gap, I found that applying AI to my qualitative methods could help me make qualitative more data-driven and, in that sense, more robust for us, for these audiences.
That's nice, marrying the two, the robustness of the data and the insights behind the qual. So tell me a little bit about Jade Kite and how you do that.
Yeah, so Jadekite works as a strategic insights agency. So as you mentioned, we mostly do qual. We try to find ways to make things more efficient and more impactful for our clients. And the way we do that most of the time is to try and find ways that will still deliver everything the client and their organization expects from qualitative. So we will, for example, most of the time still do our interviews and our focus groups and so on, so that we're not taking anything away from them, but we will amplify and enhance it with AI methods.
Okay.
And so there's a million ways, there are a million ways to use AI.
Yeah. Okay. One of the trends I have seen a lot or heard about from clients a lot is this reluctance with qual these days because, you know, mainly the cost involved with analyzing qual data is a lot more costly than quant data. But you use AI. So how does that impact that and how do you leverage it?
Yeah, you know, Andre, it's true. It's true. It's something that I've noticed myself. And I've heard from all of my peers, there is less qual done these days, and there is a lot of pressure on all of our clients to do things faster. Timelines are shortening for everyone, and so there is a lot of pressure, in particular, to do more with less qual, and that's what we try to do. Mm-hmm. We try to find ways to be very intentional. Work with our clients to understand exactly what their needs are and to get the most out of a small engagement. And in terms of our use of AI, we do use AI to accelerate things, to shorten our timelines, to move away from the traditional standard of, you know, 8 to 12 weeks, which is just completely impossible these days.
Yeah.
No one's 8 to 12 weeks. So we will use AI in all kinds of ways. One is for management of large projects, for example, to coordinate maybe 100 interviews in 7 countries and make sure that all the calendars align and that collaboration is happening smoothly so we don't have to have analysis meetings and check-ins all the time. We use AI a lot to coordinate. We do use text analysis to go very quickly over enormous amounts of data, whether that's secondary data from our clients to do a knowledge review, or whether that's a huge body of transcripts. And on that note, one of the ways we accelerate things is very often we find that there isn't really a need for primary research.
Yeah.
And it's something that can be a bit surprising for some of our clients to hear when they come and they want to hire us for primary research. But it turns out that with a good use of AI, we can explain some of the unstructured data they had and find the answers there in a few days at a fraction of the cost without having to spend weeks trawling and asking the same questions over and over again.
Yeah. I think a lot of people would be very happy to hear that. What about, so you use it for the scheduling, I guess, and then the analysis. Do you use it in, do you do things like have AI moderators or AI asking questions?
So, no. So far, our moderators are still all 100% human. And okay. It's something I have a very close eye on. Mm-hmm. I'm very much, very, very curious about when it will happen because it's not a question of if. It's a few years out still. The chatbots today are getting incredibly good and very clever. But the reality is a good moderator is also a good strategist. Mm-hmm. We always operate with the objectives in mind and with a way to try and accelerate towards our client's objective. And sadly, we haven't seen a chatbot being able to do that yet. That being said, there is a blurring of the line between qual and quant. We are now able to do quant surveys, for example, that are mostly open-ended questions that have very rich responses from a large amount of people. And to go through this huge amount of open-end with great accuracy and great richness by using AI, and in particular, if we use voice-completed surveys, yeah, then we're able to apply one of our main tools, which is AI emotion recognition. Mm-hmm. And so we're able to have really very almost behavioral responses at scale from a quant survey, which is something that wasn't possible before.
Yeah, it's really nice. I think a lot of people would really like that mix because you don't have to, you know, do the quant and then do the qual. If it could all be in one hit, that would just be so much more efficient. So how much faster from the 8 to 12 weeks can you get it?
Our recent record was 5 days.
Nice. So that was probably, was that doing AI analysis of existing data or was that collecting new data?
That was a full qualitative engagement from to writing the guides to doing the field work and delivering the report.
Wow, that's impressive. 5 days. I've never seen market research qual done in 5 days. So that's impressive. So how does it work from the participants who are joining your research point of view? Is it similar to what it used to be, or is there a platform that you use to bring them in at the same time, or how does that work?
No, from a participant perspective, nothing has changed.
Okay.
We, as I mentioned, we try to avoid rocking the boat unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. And our analysis methods are applicable in any form of field work, face-to-face, online, or anything.
Okay. And do you think that traditional qual and the way that it used to be analyzed is no longer relevant?
I'm sure you know that a lot of my peers are traditional qualitative researchers, and that's not a very fair position to put me in to ask.
Sorry.
I could make a lot of enemies, but I don't think it's fair to say it is not relevant anymore. It is still, traditional qual is still very useful.
Okay.
It is still the foundation of everything we do. It might not be the best use of time and resources, the absolute optimal use today in 2023. So it's still relevant. I just think it can be amplified and it can be enhanced. There's room for improvement today.
And in terms of AI amplifying and enhancing, what do you think it's going to take over in terms of market research roles?
So hopefully it won't take over people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's a need or really a benefit in taking over people's roles wholesale entirely. Mm-hmm. What it will take over, and it has started a while ago, is to take over some of the tasks, and particularly to take over some of the boring, obvious, repetitive tasks that...
And the time-consuming ones, I assume.
Absolutely, the time-consuming ones at every level, in every function. Everyone has those days, those half days that are spent doing things that just need doing. That ultimately anyone could do, that don't need that niche, specialized knowledge.
Yeah.
And so as these tasks disappear, my hope is people can focus on what they're great at, delivering better work that is more valuable for our clients, better quality, faster.
Yeah. Even things like, you know, something that we've used in the past is using AI for medical legal review and things like that. So, you know, now we've got more and more compliance with market research that has to go through so much review processes, things like that. AI can really, you still need a human in the loop for most things, but it can speed things up and these are the things you need to look at, or actually it's all good. Can't find any of the alert things that you need. So yeah, interesting.
That's a great advice.
Yeah. What about the analysis of results? Is that mainly AI and then a human checking it?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. I think it asks the question about what we mean by analysis.
Okay.
And from my perspective, there's a difference between processing the data and delivering a full-scale analysis of it. The AI can take us to a certain point, and it can give us a lot of choice. It can do a lot of things very quickly, but knowing what analysis to launch and what to make of it in the specific context of our client's objective has to be human. So AI provides us with new, better, more interesting data points and better ways to look at them. But ultimately, like you said, the human in the loop is absolutely critical in order to deliver something that provides a competitive advantage, which is really what we're in the business of providing.
Of course, yeah. And so what kind of analyses do you do with AI? So you mentioned the detecting emotion, which is very interesting, and I assume you do natural language processing as well. Is there anything else that you, any other types of AI that you employ?
So I'm not going to teach you that AI is a broad church. I'm sure most of your guests will repeat that there is just so much going on. NLP, yes, absolutely, particularly for things like sentiment analysis, really refined, really nuanced work now, understanding the subtle emotions within speech. Obviously, we use LLMs for analysis of large bodies of text, extracting scenes and so on. Audio and video processing for emotion recognition, and for use swarm intelligence as part of our Mirai prediction system.
Okay. And speaking of LLMs, I did see that you did an article this week about how to get the most value out of ChatGPT for qual researchers. Could we maybe dig into that a little bit, and maybe you could give us your top tips?
Absolutely. There's no way to talk about AI without talking about ChatGPT.
Not these days.
For better or worse, it's almost become synonymous, hasn't it? It's one of those household
names. Yeah, this year,
But no, I think for any sort of AI assistant or LLM chatbot, the way I always recommend to look at it, the first thing is a mindset shift. It's to think of it as the most motivated intern in the world. And so because this intern doesn't know anything about you or what you're trying to accomplish or your business, you have to teach them. And you have to give them context for any instructions, any task you give them. Context, context, context. Explain to them where this is coming from, where it's going. Tell them who they need to emulate.
Yeah.
Who they are, what it's for. Give them examples. And so some examples for us have been to really put themselves in the shoes, to put the LLM, to put ChatGPT in the shoes of either the client to understand the needs, or in the shoes of the customer and the participants to try and predict the responses. Again, try and accelerate things and not waste time in field work. We found that building hypotheses through ChatGPT and bouncing them around with the client sometimes has helped us really knock out a few paragraphs of questioning to let us focus on what was more important.
Nice. What would you say are the most common use cases that your clients bring you that you use AI for?
So generally speaking, our clients bring us use cases that see them in dire need of differentiation.
Okay.
So the common thread is marketplaces getting more competitive and the clients needing to venture into the unknown to a certain extent. Clients realize you have to do something differently or they will get the same results and they will get left behind. And so that doing differently, one, AI is different and it's new and exciting, but also very often people get stuck between doing qualitative, which is exploratory and open world and really brings a lot of possibilities with it, but doesn't have the certainty needed for action.
Yeah.
Or doing quant research, which is very decisive and very convincing, but ultimately doesn't open itself to innovation, doesn't have the richness. Yeah. And so our clients come to us when they know they need to move at pace and do something different, but they also want that conviction that goes with it. And so we become exploration for them, we try new things, and we bring them a quantified answer as to what's possible.
Yeah. And that leads me into, I was on your website, and I was very curious about your Mir AI service that predicts the future and helps with forecasts. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Yes, with great pleasure. It's something I'm very passionate about. It uses a swarm intelligence platform. And really the main thing about it is it's a prediction system that gives absolutely incredibly accurate results. Particularly when we don't have an accurate time series behind it. Maybe the market's been disrupted, maybe five new competitors are coming in next year. Maybe it's a completely new category. Whatever it is, we need to have some kind of idea of what the future holds, and we can't just use traditional forecasting models. And in those cases, we found that we can get levels of accuracy that are astounding, frankly. A few years ago, the owners of the platform and us went to the Kentucky Derby and were able to predict the first four horses in a row in the right order.
Wow.
In the grand final. And so those were odds of 1 for 500. And it's something that it has incredible accuracy for political elections, for sales, for all sorts of things. And it works instantly through a completely different kind of AI.
Yeah.
It's machine learning. It's not data, purely data-driven. It works by building very fast consensus between a group of experts and an AI.
Yeah. And well, I hope you won a lot of money on that.
You know, I was one of the best people who didn't gamble. I don't gamble at all. Maybe once down $20 and left with 10,000, and I regret it to this day.
That's very interesting that it can make very quick short-term predictions as well as longer-term. So an election is like maybe a year or two, I guess, whereas a horse race is, you know, literally very, very fast. So how far out can it go? Because I know that most farmer would love to know, you know, how disease areas are progressing based on the research today, or how treatment regimens are going to change in the next 10 years. Because, you know, when you start with your, for example, even your market access, you start so early and you're making predictions on what you think is going to happen based on today's world, but really you need to know about the future world, because often, you know, it takes that long before your drug gets to market. So how does it perform in those kind of long-term scenarios? Do you know? Has it been tried for that?
It has been tried for that. We're constantly running trials and benchmarking. Yeah. And obviously the longer, just like with any clinical trial,
yeah,
the longer the time scale, the longer it takes to make sure it's working. What I'm going to say is predicting the future ultimately is a guessing game. The further out, the more doubtful the claim. But this is, as far as I know, and I have looked far and wide, this is simply the best guess you can possibly get in the world today.
Based on all the data.
Based on all the data, based on all the expertise and intuition, because it does mix data and intuition, and human intuition, into a really mix. And so from all this, I will say, after 36 months, things start to seriously degrade. The future just doesn't exist after 36 months.
Okay, so we've got a three-year future. Well, you never know what's going to happen in 3 years. Meteorite could hit the Earth.
Hopefully.
That's interesting. So it's got a three-year limit before it basically doesn't really want to go any further, which is probably fair.
I wouldn't commit to anything
past 3 years. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. And so you've got a mix of clients, don't you? But the majority of your clients are pharma.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And do you work with biotech and devices as well?
Absolutely. So most of our clients are really the large pharmas. Biotech, we do a lot of work with both big and small, payer and devices as well. We also have a foot in the other world, in the world of consumer and other industries, which I'm very keen on maintaining. I think the pharma world has a lot to gain from learning from other industries. As we all know, it's a very conservative world, particularly when it comes to marketing and innovation. And so there's a lot of knowledge and expertise that we bring with us from our work in the consumer and B2B world.
Yeah. And when you think about Qol and AI, is there anything that you think it wouldn't be a good fit for? Any kinds of problems?
It really goes case by case.
Okay.
I think mainly it really depends on what the client needs, and not just of their business needs, but really we're trying to be very conscious of their stakeholder environment and their company culture. And our goal is to never try to shoehorn our solutions into their situation. So try to maintain a good culture within our customer base, and also to try and be conscious of backwards compatibility. If they have been doing the same thing for years, they might not want to change and throw in new data streams today. So we still do the occasional traditional Qol project to help our clients.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly it's really a matter of what works for them.
Yeah. Okay. Really, really interesting. For anyone listening who wants to delve more into Jade Kite and what they're doing with AI for Qol research, you can go to jade-kite.com and you can connect with Siddhi and his team and find out more. Been really fascinating. Thank you so much for joining me on this today. And I'm very curious to look at this swarm platform you're using to make predictions. Sounds very, very impressive.
Thank you so much for having me, Andre. And I'd be more than happy to show you anytime.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of AI for Pharma Growth. If you have received huge value from this show, or maybe this episode has highlighted how you can use AI in your company, then we would love for you to support the show by leaving us a 5-star rating. Please make sure you hit the subscribe or follow button on your podcast app now to make sure you never miss an episode.